This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The digital dollar could give the feds control of your money. Get the digital dollar report. Call 1-800-862-6970 and also receive a $1,000 credit from Priority Gold to protect your money. Or just go to digitaldollarreport.com.
Please note, the information provided does not constitute financial or investment advice.
That routine traffic stop, or so it seemed, in Queens ended with the death of a New York City cop.
There is outrage not only over the shooting, but over the criminal histories of the two suspects. The scene seconds after the shooting. The alleged gunman sprawled on the sidewalk with a bullet wound in his back. Officer Jonathan Diller out of view and mortally wounded. In the chaos, he will be rushed to Jamaica Hospital. Hours later, his body was carried from the trauma center after surgeons were unable to save his life. The bullet struck his abdomen just beneath his bulletproof vest.
He put himself in harm's way. He went towards the danger, all to keep the people we serve safe.
Officer Diller was 31 years old, with just 3 years on the NYPD. The married father of a little boy, not even a year old. Authorities say he and his partner approached the two men in an SUV parked illegally in a bus stop. That the men refused repeated orders to step out of the car before the passenger shot Officer Diller. Another officer returned fire, striking the suspect in the back. He's identified by police as Guy Rivera, a 34-year-old man with 21 prior arrests, including 9 felonies. He's expected to survive. His gun was recovered at the scene. Officer Diller and his partner were members of a community response team assigned to Queens South. No one else was injured, and the driver was arrested at the scene. Police identified him as Lindy Jones, age 41. He has 14 prior arrests and was free on bail after being arrested for gun possession less than a year ago. Mayor Adams speaking with reporters at City Hall.
They could care less when they discharge that gun if they shot a cop. Just a total disregard. These are bad people who are doing bad things to good people. It's the good guys against the bad guys.
Both men are in police custody. The gunman remains hospitalized. Charges against both men have not yet been announced.
Some migrant families will soon be given prepaid credit cards to buy food and baby supplies. The mayor's office says the city is partnering with Mobility Capital Finance to launch a more cost-effective program. Right now, the city has contracts with food services who provide non-perishable food boxes to shelters. They will start with 500 migrant families with children in short-term hotel stays. The cards can only be used at bodegas, grocery stores, supermarkets, and convenience stores.
We're just giving this migrant population more free stuff at the expense of New York City taxpayers.
In a statement, the mayor's office says, in part, quote, not only will this provide families with the ability to purchase fresh food of their culturally relevant diets and the baby supplies of their choosing, but the pilot program is expected to save New York City more than $600,000 per month or more than $7.2 million annually.
I'm not going to be thankful that a program that was bloated and inefficient is somehow cheaper to just give away free money to people in the hopes that they feed themselves.
According to the New York Post, this pilot program will cost the city $53 million. The amount loaded on the card will depend on the family size. The families who get these credit cards will be required to sign an affidavit swearing they will only use them for food or baby supplies. Those who violate the terms could be kicked out of the program.
I was literally just walking, and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground, and now this giant goose egg is forming, and I'm like, oh my God, it's so crazy.
Judge in New York overseeing Donald Trump's upcoming hush money criminal trial has hit the former president with a gag order.
This limits what former President Donald Trump can say in the lead up to this trial, which begins on April 15th, about foreseeable witnesses in the case. So that includes his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, who is an ardent critic. This should prevent him from making social media posts about witnesses like Michael Cohen, as well as members of the court staff or the district attorney, Alvin Bragg's staff. In this gag order is also a limitation on what can be said about family members of all these people. Presumably under this gag order, he is now barred from doing so.
Former RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel is out at NBC News as a paid contributor less than a week after being hired there. The announcement coming after a loud chorus from NBC hosts, various talent, blasting that hire.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she
has credibility issues, huh, Chuck?
Is she speaking for herself,
NBC,
or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting.
More details on the story. Fox 11 broke first. The federal raid at the L.A. mansion of Sean Diddy Combs as Diddy's lawyer issues a strongly worded statement.
One day after Fox 11 News was the first to bring you exclusive footage of heavily armed federal agents raiding the homes of music mogul Sean Diddy Combs. Agents going room to room seizing evidence for their case, even detaining Diddy's son.
There's three people right there that were taken into custody.
Diddy's attorney issued a long statement that says in part, quote, there was a gross overuse of military level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way, unquote.
Trocheck and Fox on for the Rangers. Trocheck, round the boards. Fox goes over to get it. Trocheck back to Fox. He's got room. He scores! There it is! Adam Fox wins it in overtime. Peter Laviolette's 800th career win.
Over slick machine, over the Jersey state line, barefoot girl sitting on the hood of a Dodge, drinking warm beer in the soft summer rain. The rock pulls in the town, rolls up his pants. Together they take a stab at romance and disappear down.
Had a homecoming last night. You know, I wanted to end today's open, once again, put together in brilliant fashion by executive producer extraordinaire Justin Ellick with something uplifting, because today's show is going to be rough. Rough. We got a dead cop, and I'm going to be all over the mayor today. I'm done with all that. That's over. We got Israel, United States, and Biden stabbing Israel in the back. Outside of Donald Trump and his big day with Truth Social yesterday, went up 50% on NASDAQ. It's now worth about $6 billion. Outside of that, not much good news. So when the Rangers beat the Flyers last night in overtime, and you guys know how much I love sports and my four teams, Mets, Knicks, Giants, and Rangers. Big win for the Rangers. They are the first team in the NHL this year. First team. I mean, you got a lot of teams playing very good hockey, right? A lot of teams. The Bruins, the Panthers, Carolina, Dallas, Vancouver, Colorado. Rangers, first team to clinch a playoff spot, and the first team in the NHL this year to hit 100 points. Right now, they're a point better than the Bruins in an effort to win the President's Trophy, the President's Cup. So, big win for the Rangers. Also, Peter LaViolette told you this story. I was hosting Middays at WFAN 20 years ago with Jody McDonald before Joe Beningo joined me. And Peter LaViolette was the coach of the Islanders back then. And he loved me and loved the show. So he would call in. You know how guys call in every day. That's what the fan is. All calls. I have a couple of guests, but all calls. Joey from Brooklyn, Louis from Queens, Nomi from Jersey City. He would call in as Pete from Uniondale. And he would tackle a variety of sports issues, especially hockey, because he knew I hated the Islanders. And we had a great rapport back and forth. And then he was gone. He went to Carolina, other places. Last night was his 800th win. Do you realize, as far as I can find out, only six guys
are ahead of him?
That's it.
Yeah.
You got Paul Maurice, Lindy Ruff, Ken Hitchcock, Barry Trotz, Joel Quenneville, and of course, the one they'll never catch with over 1,200 wins, Scotty Bowman. So a huge night for the Rangers, a big night for Coach Pete LaViolette, and they are on their way to the playoffs.
those two coaches the Islanders had, the players got them fired.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Smart move.
Trotz and LaViolette.
LaViolette.
Two of the top six.
Yes.
And by the way, right behind LaViolette in seventh place, talking about the Islander coaches, with 782 wins and four Stanley Cups, Al Arbor. The great,
right?
Al Arbor, yes. So that is the good news today. Now we get to the bad news. Well, before I get to Officer Diller, God rest his soul, what is the latest in Baltimore? As far as I know, after the cargo ship took down that bridge at this time yesterday morning, they have ruled the six people missing dead. We talked about it yesterday. 100-foot plunge. Freezy, icy temperatures in the water. So whoever was ever in that water, in a car, for example, they weren't going to make it. Norm, what's the latest there?
So the latest is those six, right. The thought is that they are dead. Now it's not really a rescue mission anymore. They will have divers in the water at daylight. So any minute now in the harbor there looking, continue to look for their bodies. The thought is those six were doing a cement job along the bridge, and they were actually sitting in their cars waiting for the cement to dry. The two workers that were found in the water were apparently just out of their vehicles. So the belief is that everybody who died in their cars when they fell into the water, geez, which is just awful. So, and then the more information we have, of course, is now is that this container ship lost power. The amazing part, though, let's highlight sometimes when government works really well, when police are doing an amazing job, as they always do, was there could have been tons of people on this bridge at 1:20 in the morning when it came tumbling down. But the moment this ship sounded the Mayday alarm, within moments, police officers raced to both sides of that bridge and stopped traffic from going on, saving potentially hundreds of lives, because this bridge has some 33,000 cars that cross it every single day.
You know, I have no patience for conspiracy theorists. I just don't. It's stupid. You know, every tragedy that happens in this country, there's a percentage of idiots who chalk it up to some, you know, huge plan. And I can't tell you how many messages I got yesterday from people who talked about this being a terrorist attack, that this cargo ship hit it on purpose, the bridge. I don't even have the patience to call these people stupid anymore. Not every tragedy is a planned terrorist attack. There is nothing about what happened yesterday. Nothing that said, well, now, oh, now they figured it out. Now you can, in the water. I mean, did you get some of that nonsense?
Oh, 100%. And you just look at people, you're like, you're out of your minds.
I mean, stop. Please stop. All right, let's get to John Diller. God rest his soul. 31 years old, wife, one-year-old child. Guy Rivera. That's the name of the scumbag who pulled the trigger. Now, what we learned yesterday, no surprise, 21 priors, 9 felonies. I want this guy to die, personally. And the driver, this Lindy Jones, also a piece of garbage, 14 priors, just a year ago arrested for gun possession and served time, I believe, a decade in prison. So, yes, these are what we call recidivists. But when the mayor tries to explain it away like crime isn't all that bad in this city because there's only a couple of thousand people that are committing all the crimes, it's starting to make me nauseous. Doesn't matter whether it's 3,000 people committing the crimes or 3 million. There's a dead cop. And until the mayor shows some balls, and I'm done with him. I don't care. I may get a nasty text today. I don't care. I tried. Go up to Albany, punch somebody across the face. Carl Heastie. Yell and scream at Andrea Stewart Cousins. Yell and scream at your girlfriend Kathy Hochul. Do what you got to do. I don't care if they cut spending in 10 other places. No one cares. Nobody. We are tired of all the excuses and dead cops in the street and dead subway riders on the tracks. We're tired of it. We don't care how you categorize it. We don't care how you try to explain it away. Just figure out a way to stop it. And if you can't stop it, at least go down fighting. Say what you want about Donald Trump. This guy fights. He gets arrested every day. He doesn't change his opinion. He doesn't change what he believes or the way he handles any situation. He's a fighter. You may hate his guts. A lot of you morons do. He's a fighter. The mayor of New York City needs to be a fighter. This is a very complicated, now dangerous city. You cannot have somebody in that job trying to appease everybody, trying to appease Democrats, Republicans, senators, congressmen, governors. You can't do it. You got to be a prick. That's the bottom line. You got to be a prick. And Eric Adams is not that. Well, he is. But not because he's doing it the right way. So now the world is going to turn out, and this is beautiful, for Jonathan Diller. Guy Rivera and Lindy Jones will go back to jail. And this one-year-old little boy, when he becomes aware, is going to walk by some dining room table in his house. And his mommy is going to say that was daddy. But don't worry. It's recidivism. It's not a crime. I am so angry. I got a direct message from somebody on Instagram yesterday. I don't know who this person is, but I'm going to read it. Because I was just as pissed yesterday. And it says, it's under the title, Mom. Hello, Sid. I never send a DM to posting, but I felt so compelled to do it today. As the mother of a police officer. I am horrified and heartbroken over the senseless shooting of Jonathan Diller by a chronically repeat criminal who has shown no remorse over this offense and his past history. As I listened to you today, this was yesterday, I felt your frustration and anger over this repeated situation in our state with seemingly no end in sight. Sid, you've got a powerful and profound voice for all New Yorkers that are disgusted with legislators like Heasty, Stuart Cousins, Hochul, Bragg, Adams, and the no-cash bail laws that allow these repeat criminals to come back on our streets and endanger everyday citizens as well as police. Perhaps in your morning show message tomorrow, which is today, you can let all New Yorkers who listen, and that is a huge number, to call the offices of these people and demand they change this ridiculous law to protect the good and caring people of New York. In addition, there will be a candlelight service tomorrow night, which is tonight, at 7 p.m. in Brady Park, Massapequa Park, honoring Officer Diller. Thank you for your time. Heartbreaking. And people are angry. They are angry. And they're right. And nothing's going to happen. You understand, folks? Nothing is going to happen. You know, Curtis Sliwa celebrated his 70th birthday yesterday. And we had a beautiful cake here on stage 17, whatever it's called now. I don't know. John Catsimatidis, Margot, Chad, Emily, all of us. They even had a song that they created through AI for Curtis. It was really lovely. It was great. But then Curtis went to work. I know you got this audio, Noam. Curtis went down to the station on 125th and Lex. Well, on the same day this officer was gunned down, killed in cold blood, some psycho shoved an everyday guy in front of a moving Ford train, and of course, that person was killed. Not Mike Kemper's fault. Sorry, Curtis, not Mike Kemper's fault. But, another blemish on this city, that we've got crazy, murderous people walking the streets every day, on top of now a new thing here in New York, where three young girls, and my daughter Ava's going to turn 20 next week, three young girls have been punched across the face just walking in the streets of New York. And you want to beat your chest and tell me, Mr. Mayor, you're doing a great job because you're giving credit cards to illegals, giving more incentive to people in Nicaragua, Venezuela, to come to New York City? We don't want them here. We don't even want you here at this point. Where's the audio of Curtis last night on the train there?
I can play it for you right now if you want me to.
Yeah, play it.
Oh, stomping grounds for me. 125th and Lex, 6 uptown to the Bronx, 4 up to Fordham Road where I started the Guardian Angels back in 1979. And that's right, this station is a hot mess because of everything that's upstairs, right? It is like Dante's Inferno upstairs. You got drug users, drug dealers, emotionally disturbed, homeless. And then they come down here to 125th. Yesterday, a poor soul gets pushed into an oncoming train at 7 o'clock. Emotionally disturbed guy, out of his mind. Probably hanging out upstairs. What's up?
Ivan?
Got it.
I see you in a while, bro.
That's right.
I seen you, man.
That's right. I'm here at 125, good. Where I spent a lot of time, right?
I seen you in a while, man.
And I'm telling you, it's just crazy upstairs. So we got to get control of upstairs before you're going to get control of downstairs here. And earlier today, a woman avoiding the fare punched a New York City police officer, a male, in the nose, broke his nose. And this is just going to continue. So I think I got to get some guardian angels down here, wouldn't you say? Bring them here.
So that was Curtis Sliwa at the train station where somebody was murdered two nights ago. All right. The good news, though, if there is any, above and beyond the Rangers clinching a playoff spot, the people of Massapequa, as they get set to honor Officer Diller tonight with his candlelight vigil, they're doing a great job. From a florist to a restaurant owner, I've been to that restaurant, people are stepping up in the community to help. And, oh, by the way, folks, do you know who called Officer Diller's wife yesterday? You want to take a guess, Noam?
Mayor Adams?
Nope. Oh, maybe he did. I don't know. Who cares? God.
Sid Rosenberg?
I want to. I tried to get the number. Haven't gotten it yet. No, President Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump, not Joe Biden. No, not the defund the police party. President Donald Trump called the wife. And I also heard that Frank Siller, this happens to be a Tunnel to Towers Wednesday, my friend, the CEO of Tunnel to Towers, has already called her and promised to pay off the rest of the mortgage on her house. See, these are Republicans, these are conservatives, these are heroes, people like Donald Trump and Frank Siller. All right, big show about to come your way. Nassau County Commissioner Pat Ryder, he's a terrific guy and a great commissioner. He'll join us this hour. 7 o'clock hour, the great Curtis Sliwa and Peter King. 8 o'clock hour, Lara Trump is going to be here. 9 o'clock hour, Janine Pirro and Jacqueline Toberoff. Fasten your seatbelts, folks. It's going to be quite a ride today. Jungle Land, and I'll be back.
If you've had an accident, trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients and will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read all of their five-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today at 800-560-0214 for a free consultation or email at info@gabolaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident.
Oy. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Once in your life, you find her. Someone who turns your heart around, and next thing you know, you're closing down the town. Wake up and it's still with you, even though you left your way across town, wondering to yourself, hey, what am I?
Christopher Cross, a little New York City music for you. I know this was the theme from those great author movies. I don't think it's Christopher Cross's birthday today. Is it, Lewis?
It is not.
It is not.
It's one of your guys, though.
One of my guys. But I just said this was the theme song from the great movie Arthur.
It's not a birthday, though, too.
Liza Minnelli was in that movie. She was great. And the great Sir John Gielgud, he actually played Mr. Bitterman. I'm going to go with Dudley Moore's birthday.
No, I said not birthday.
Not birthday.
This is the day he passed.
Heavenly birthday.
Yes.
He dead. My man Dudley drank like Foster Brooks. My man Dudley was always drunk. But these Arthur movies were great, and of course, he really became a huge star before the Arthur movies when he made the movie 10 with Bo Deedle. Not Bo Deedle.
Yeah. Wow.
Bo Derek.
I don't think anybody had Bo Deedle posters hanging up in there.
Yeah, Bo Derek. You know, Bo's on my mind. Sunday was Palm Sunday, and it was the 40-year anniversary of Bo Deedle cracking that horrible Palm Sunday case. And Bo reached out to me yesterday because as a former cop and a great cop, he feels horrible about the Diller murder. So Bo's been on my mind. But yes, Bo, Derek. Pete Morgan checks in, Mr. Peerless Boilers and Tankless Water Heaters. He says, I'm driving to Pennsylvania. You're making my long ride easy. Now, that was great radio. Now, what the hell does he know? God. Why don't you listen to Boomer and Geo? The Rangers just clinched, you know, and the Mets and Yankees play tomorrow, and the NCAA basketball tournament returns tomorrow, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be RFK Jr.'s running mate. We got a lot to talk about on The Fan. Maybe not.
Bill in Staten Island, what do you think?
Yeah, right. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, I remember it all went bad for me with sports when ISIS had that day in Paris when they went and attacked people eating at an outdoor cafe, when they killed people in that amphitheater, when they set off bombs at the soccer stadium. That's when Geraldo Rivera started to realize that Barack Obama was a pussy. But that was a day for me where I was like, I can't do this. My boss is like, the Dolphins are playing the Bills on Sunday. And we got you Brian Hartline. I said, what? Wide receiver? Brian Hartline? There are dead bodies in... We don't do that here. I said, I do that here. I've been over this a million times. I said, if you want to hire somebody else, like Joe Rose or any one of those Miami people, to come in and talk sports, then I'll leave. I don't care. But on this day, I can't muster up enthusiasm. I can't act. It'll be the same thing today. Could you imagine? I'm sitting there with Beningo or Jody Mack talking about Mets opening day tomorrow when we're going to bury Jonathan Diller on Thursday. I couldn't do it.
Well, therein lies the problem of the format.
What do you mean?
That you are fixed to sports.
Oh, I know. Listen, Joan Up used to yell at me if I ever, you know, walked away from sports, even for 2 minutes. He'd be like, we don't do that here.
Yeah, but what would we do on 9/11?
Well, not only 9/11, but the truth is as great as Mike and the Mad Dog were, that's the greatest sports talk show ever. And Beningo and me and Summers and all those great guys. And the Mets, the reason why the band was great was Imus. And Imus didn't do sports all morning.
Well, I would add to what you said. He kind of bridged all the gap, kept sports going.
Right.
And you had news, and you have Charles and all of us.
Sound familiar?
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. The formula here works.
It works. It works. Exactly. And Imus placed a huge emphasis on sports. I mean, I was on a lot of days, four times an hour, much more than Mike Breen or any one of my predecessors, much more. But this formula works.
I wanted to get paid as many times as it good sitting here.
I mean, just good you'd be a very wealthy man, right?
I wouldn't be right here with you right now, I don't think.
Yeah, people have no idea how much he leaned on me. They thought it was Bernie, God rest his soul. They thought it was whoever it may have been. It was me. It became hard. And then he started calling me every night.
No way.
Every night. Yep. You know, he'd call Bernard and say, give me a bid tomorrow for the Cardinal, you know. But he wouldn't talk to Bernard. He would call me just to talk. And I was like, wait, are we friends? I don't really want to talk to you.
No.
What? I'm dying, you son of a bitch. Talk to me. And I'm like, you're dying? Oh, my God, I'm sorry. Okay, I got to go. Noam, this Ronna McDaniel story.
Charles used to complain about having to talk to
him. Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. I don't feel that way at all when he calls me.
By the way, let me say this. He's like one of those Yenta Jewish ladies down in Delray Beach, I miss. He'd never get off the phone. Oh, and then he would just come out of nowhere, these tangents. Like, we'd be talking about, for example, let's say, I don't know, Chernoff. And he'd be like, and not Mike Lupica, some scumbag. Huh? I'm like, well, where did that come from?
I know.
Now we've got to talk about Lupica for 15 minutes.
His head was all over the place.
Oh, he was just out of his mind.
Then when it was really over, he's like, okay, I got to go.
I got to go. And he just hangs up.
Hangs up.
Like, but I would say I love you on purpose. And then maybe right before he died one time, he said, I love you too. And then I said, good, now you can die.
That's not funny. Noam said that before he died.
Noam was hoping he would die.
Hey, hello, hope you die.
I've said this time and time again, and people get annoyed that I bring up Imus. I know they do, but the longer he's gone, the more I miss him. And the more I realize what a huge influence he's had on me. He just has. Noam, Ronna McDaniel had a long conversation with Brian Kilmeade this morning. And I said, well, you guys should fire Harold Ford Jr. now. And you had Donna Brazile on the five for 2 years. And Eric Swalwell with Martha McCallum for a year. Now, I don't like when those people are on. I don't. And I change the channel. But Fox News puts them there. NBC News, Chuck Todd talking about being a credible news source. They get one person from the RNC and every one of them, Rachel Maddow, Chuck Todd, Joe and Mika, Nicole Wallace, they all start bitching and crying like a bunch of babies. And now she gone, right?
Yeah, they let her go. They started sniffing around when they hired Ronna McDaniel, and some of people at the network were really upset. But then I think what put people over the edge is she was on Meet the Press on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's with Kristen Welker.
Yeah, and that's
but
what
she was very nice.
I thought
very
it was
nice.
But this is the one sentence that killed that got these people going crazy was that she said Joe Biden had won the 2020 election fair and square. And then she went on just to talk about some of the problems with the election, and that just drove people at the network crazy.
Whatever.
And then you had this Chuck Todd moment where he went on and just slammed the network.
Well, it wasn't a moment. It was like a forever.
Yeah.
He was on for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I have it here. I'm going to play it right now. But, you know, Ronna McDaniel also was critical of Trump. That's what they want. She actually blames him for January 6th. And don't you want somebody who knows a bit about the Republican Party on NBC come August, come September, come October? If I'm Ronna McDaniel, I am suing the pants off of NBC today. I am suing those mother effers. So I sent a text, and Justin was sitting right there. He could attest to this. 5:18 this morning, I sent a text to Chuck Todd. We used to be friends. We don't talk anymore. And I said, hey, buddy, what you guys are doing to Ronna McDaniel is a bunch of BS. I guess Fox News should fire Harold Ford Jr. today. Did I say that, Justin?
100%.
You saw the text.
Word for word.
He has not answered me back.
Well, I don't think he will.
But here was Chuck Todd with his tantrum on with Welker on Meet the Press after McDaniel was on, Lewis, cut number 14.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. Mm. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has.
She
to
has
credibility.
Yeah. What about NBC?
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? What, once at the RNC, she did say that. Hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions.
No, it didn't. Sucked.
And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable
with
this.
You call them journalists?
Many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that.
What?
I'm willing to have that debate.
No, you're not.
And if you told me we were hiring
as
a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told me we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. That's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial
shut up. There's your moment, longer than the 100-year war that moment from Chuck Todd. And if you thought I beat the living daylights out of my 85-year-old friend Alan Dershowitz yesterday, I will give Chuck Todd such an ass-beating on this show, it'll make Tyson Spinks look like romper room. But he won't come on. Anyway, Pat Ryder is on hold. He was just on Fox News. He is a terrific guy. I love Pat Ryder. He's the Nassau County Police Commissioner. And they have a big candlelighting ceremony tonight in Massapequa Park for Jonathan Diller. Before we get to that, it is Wednesday. My guy Frank Siller, who I believe already called Diller's wife yesterday, and Tunnelton Towers is going to pay off her mortgage. Because Frank Siller and Tunnelton Towers are the best. But besides that, coming up on Sunday, June the 2nd, the Tunnelton Towers Tower Climb will be held at One World Trade Center in New York City.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation's Tower Climb New York City celebrates the lives and sacrifices of all 9/11 heroes, including FDNY firefighter Steven Siller and FDNY Captain Billy Burke. Each year, more than 1,000 participants embark on a remarkable journey scaling 104 stories, that's 2,226 steps, within the iconic One World Trade Center. The journey to the top symbolizes the unwavering resilience of the American spirit, rising boldly from the ashes of that tragic day. Join the foundation for the Tunnel to Towers Tower Climb, New York City. Register today at t2t.org and remember our 9/11 heroes as you climb, ensuring that their sacrifices are never forgotten. Unable to make it to New York? No problem. The foundation hosts runs, walks, and climbs in over 80 cities across America. The proceeds from these events directly support our military service members, fallen first responders, and Gold Star families in need. For more information, visit t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T. T.org.
That's right, folks. Never forget, join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on its mission to do good in honor of America's heroes. Donate just $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Just ahead of Pat Ryder and Curtis Sliwa.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update, sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers, starting at the ice at the Garden. Adam Fox scored 36 seconds in overtime, and the Rangers became the first NHL team to clinch a playoff spot this season, beating the Philadelphia Flyers 6-5, following a wild third period last night. Alexis Lafreniere had two goals, and Igor Shesterkin made 36 saves for the Rangers, who lead the league with 100 points.
100 points!
How about it? Nice round number.
This is it. I mean, you know, I think Ranger fans were disappointed when Lundqvist and the team lost to the Kings in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2015.
Sure.
Certainly last year's first-round exit to the Devils was disappointing.
Yes.
But this year, if the Rangers don't at the very least play for the Cup, it'll be a huge disappointment.
Huge.
Huge.
100%. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking earlier, there's a lot of very strong teams in that Eastern Conference, a couple out west as well. So the competition will be there in the postseason, but the Rangers have shown that they are among the best in the league. Peter Laviolette also gets his 800th career win last night. Congrats to Coach. Up north in Toronto, Nico Hischier had a goal and two assists. Jake Allen made 42 saves, and the Devils beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-3. Last night, no action to get to in the NBA, but the Knickerbockers will be back out there tonight getting set north of the border in Toronto for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off against the Raptors. The Nets will be suiting up as well tonight, engaging in a 7 p.m. tip in D.C. against the Wizards. Ahead of your big day on the Diamond tomorrow, all 30 MLB teams will be in action for this year's opening day. One familiar lefty arm has finally found his last-minute home for the year. Left-hander Jordan Montgomery and the Arizona Diamondbacks are in agreement on a one-year deal, $25 million contract. That includes a vesting player option for a second season, so this bolsters the National League champions' rotation, I should say, with the postseason standout from the team that ultimately beat them in the World Series. Off-season news coming from the NFL yesterday in the league's annual meeting, where NFL owners approved a massive revamp of the kickoff play, ultimately opting for a format that originated in the XFL. The new alignment rules represent the most significant on-field rule change for the NFL in years and are designed to reverse more than a decade of declining return rates while also lowering concussion rates. In essence, the format will move the majority of the kicking and return teams downfield to minimize high-speed collisions. It will go into effect for 1 year only in anticipation of possible tweaks over time. That's sports sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. To find a dealer near you, they're the world's best built boilers. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
For me, it's like, if this makes people feel better, and let everybody know, like this family, Massapequa, Massapequa Park, Tim's Florist, we are behind you. We're going to mourn with you.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la.
Late great Warren Zevon, keep me in your heart for a while. For the late police officer Jonathan Diller, that's a lady who owns a florist in Massapequa, Tim's Florist. That brings me to my first guest today. I really love and respect this guy. He was just on Fox News moments ago. He's the Nassau County Police Commissioner, and he's tremendous at his job. It's my friend Pat Ryder. Pat, let me start by saying, as a person who's familiar that Diller lived in your neighborhood, I'm sorry.
Sid, thank you, and thank you for getting this on the air and keeping this message alive. You know, on behalf of Bruce Blakeman, myself, the men and women of Nassau County, our prayers go out to the family of the Dillers, and we also to the men and women who serve in the NYPD. Today, they need your support more than ever.
They need our support every day, but you're right, today more than ever. This candlelighting ceremony tonight, Commissioner Ryder, in Brady Park, in Massapequa Park. And that's open to the public. Where is that exactly?
So Brady Park is just north of Sunrise Highway. It's a beautiful park in Massapequa Park. The town supervisor, Joe Saladino, has called a candlelight vigil to bring everybody together in the community, along with our county executive and the police department will all be there. It's a way to show the family that we support them, and we promise to keep our promise to never forget our loved ones.
Did you know the Diller family? They are in Massapequa.
I did not, but fortunately, I've had numerous conversations over the last couple of days with people, especially Police Commissioner Eddie Caban. Spoke with him yesterday, you know, and they talk so highly of their men and women that serve, and they also talk about Officer Diller and what he sacrificed. This guy is going to leave behind a one-year-old son and a wife of 3 years. It's horrific that this animal was out on the streets to begin with. This guy was arrested 21 times. His partner was arrested numerous times. He was in jail for 8 years. Jones was in jail for 12 years. They assaulted a correction officer while they were in the facility. When is enough enough? When do we stop the bloodshed? Because we want to give the bad guys more protection than we do our victims. This is the problem today, and we got to get change, and it's got to come yesterday.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and you're right, Pat Ryder. The numbers are exactly right. 35 priors between these two animals, scumbags, Rivera and Jones, a lot of jail time, serious offenses. But look, you know, this is, to me, it's the mayor. I mean, I understand he doesn't legislate. I know he's got to go to Albany, and he's not the one who's making these laws. I get that. Those are Stuart Cousins and Heastie and all those people up in Albany, but you know, you can't go out there time and time again and cry over a dead police officer and talk about recidivism when you're not there. He should be in Albany every day knocking down those doors. I don't care if they take money away from his other programs. I don't care. Neither does New York at this point. We are tired of burying police officers. We're tired of crazy people killing people on the subway. We're tired of all of it. And it all comes back to people who have been in trouble before. So we need the mayor to step up. You have the balls to say that, Pat.
Yeah. So But, you know, I work in a county that I got a county executive that he'll take a fight with anybody when he's backing up his cops. He'll never turn his back on his cops. And look, we make mistakes. We're not perfect people. But we go out and we protect and serve and put our lives on the line, as Officer Dilla did. And now that child grows up without a dad and she grows up without her husband. But I will tell you this. It's the mayor. It's the assembly. It's the senators up there. The laws have got to change. You can't keep having a revolving door like we did in the 80s, where you just spit the bad guy out faster than the cop is done with the paperwork. That not only lets bad people back out, but also kills your morale. Cops are like, what am I doing my job for if they're going to let the bad guy out and they're not even going to protect the victim? The victim's rights have gone by the wayside, and bad guys have the power. I'm in Manhattan, right in front of Fox and Friends this morning, and there's a guy walking down the street knocking over mailboxes. And nobody cares. They just all go about their business.
Yeah.
And this guy's knocking over cans, screaming at people, swinging a cane at people, threatening. So, you know, it's gotten to the point where nobody wants to come into the city. And unfortunately, it puts our cops more at danger when we're not there in there supporting them.
Yeah, listen, I work in the city every day, and I have to tell you, Pat, that when I got on that ferry every afternoon to go back to the beach in Queens, it's like I'm going on vacation almost every day. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I love the energy of the city. I wouldn't want to do my show, in other words, from any other place. But I can't wait to get out of here. That guy you're talking about knocking down mailboxes, I see a guy here on 3rd Avenue twice a week throwing garbage pails into the middle of the street, doing the same thing, yelling and screaming. And then you've got the politicians, including the mayor, telling all of us, oh, that's your perception. We're doing great. Come on, man. We're doing great. You were here today, Pat. Seem like we're doing great.
I live in a world of reality, but I also live in that world of perception. And people feel scared, they're scared. There's no way about it. And the people walk around this city in fear. And unfortunately, in this entire state, they're walking around in fear. And they're afraid of what's coming next. Between what's pouring across the border, that's unvetted people coming into our communities. That's our next terrorist attack. That's what's coming. It's the lone wolf that crossed there with a mission to serve Allah and going to take assault against this city of New York or out in our counties. We've got to get tighter security. We've got to support the men and women in the blue uniform. And unfortunately, those who want to judge us are the same ones that will never walk in our shoes. They don't want to do our job.
This is the courageous and really tremendous Nassau County Police Commissioner, Pat Ryder. You know, I just wish New York, Pat, would take a page out of Nassau County. Peter King is going to join me in about 43 minutes. He probably has a heart on right now. But I'm about to talk about your county because it's true. Bruce Blakeman is a Republican. He's a great executive. You're not exactly a liberal. You're a great police commissioner. All those kids out there, Anthony D'Esposito and Lolita and all these guys, you know, they're all Republicans. So when you look at Nassau County, yes, you're right. A lot of the state people don't feel safe, but they do in your county. And a lot of the positions that are being held are held by Republicans. Is that a coincidence?
No, and I'm going to tell you what. This is the first time in our history of this police department. Bruce Blakeman is increasing the size of his police department. He's adding more training facilities. He's bringing in the best equipment and technology. And you support your product when you want to make it better. You don't close it up and throw it away. And that's what they wanted to do with the funding police. Not in Nassau County. Never going to happen. Because they stand with the men and women in law enforcement, and they continue to support them. And I will always have my cops' backs.
You know, last one, the one thing that is, I mean, there's nothing nice about this story, but it does warm my heart just a little, is the outpouring of support right now, Pat, from cops that are in New York. I speak to cops as far south as Florida all the time. And everybody has been affected by Officer Diller's death. And I think you're going to see between the candlelighting ceremony tonight in Massapequa Park and the actual funeral on Thursday, an onslaught of people coming to your county to support Diller and the police. And that will be heartwarming, yes?
I got to tell you, I'm going to use a line that my good friend Anthony D'Esposito used at the funeral that we were in the city several years ago. And he took a picture in the snowstorm, and all the cops lined up in the cold. And he says, you want to know what the blue line looks like? This is what it looks like. We will come out in the masses to support our cop. He's our cop. You wear the uniform. We are one big family in this country. And we support each other. We back each other up 100%. And then with the politicians that will be pouring out from our county, we'll come out in support. And then, of course, the community. Massapequa Park is a great community, great downtown area, where Officer Diller and his family would go into town to have dinner and a couple of drinks before they go home at night. That's what communities are built on. And it's built on that foundation. And unfortunately, they chipped away at our foundation by taking Officer Diller. But I guarantee you we build it stronger going forward.
Pat Ryder, God bless you. I mean, I do know you personally, and you are a friend. And the other and I both really appreciate you. But I really believe you're tremendous at your job. And I know Long Island is very, very lucky to have you. Thank you for coming on this morning, and good luck over the next couple of days. I'm sure I'll see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sid. Thank you very much.
You're the best. Nassau County Police Commissioner Pat Ryder. Now, that guy should be a New York – and I like Eddie Cabot. I like Eddie. And I know Curtis and other people. I like Eddie. Down on the mayor, obviously. Not only down, I'm finished. It's over. But I like Eddie. But Ryder is a tough guy. That's a real tough guy.
Justin and I were just talking about, why don't you take some of the Nassau County executives?
Yeah, well, that's what I just said to them.
Bring them here.
Right.
They know what
just
they're doing.
Just take the blueprint, and maybe blue is the wrong color. Take the red print from Long Island. I'm a genius.
Yes, you are.
And do it here.
Yeah.
And maybe the rest of New York will be as safe as Nassau County. Even Rex Heuerman is out of there now, so.
Yeah, Rex.
Yeah, that wraps up our number one.
You can keep him. That's great.
Two great guests, Curtis Sliwa and Peter King. Coming up. Come on, Mayor Adams. Get off your ass and do something. We're dying here. We're dying.
And Friends in the Morning.
From my friends.
77 WABC.
Oh, stomping grounds for me. 125th and Lex. 6 uptown to the Bronx. 4 up to Fordham Road where I started the Guardian Angels back in 1979. And that's right, this station is a hot mess because of everything that's upstairs, right? It is like Dante's Inferno upstairs. You got drug users, drug dealers, emotionally disturbed, homeless. And then they come down here to 125th. Yesterday, a poor soul gets pushed into an oncoming train at 7 o'clock. Emotionally disturbed guy, out of his mind. Probably hanging out upstairs. What's up?
Hi, man.
Got it.
I see you in a while, bro.
That's right.
I see you, man.
That's right. I'm here at 125, where I spent a lot of time, right?
I see you in a while, man.
And I'm telling you, it's just crazy upstairs. So we got to get control of upstairs before you're going to get control of downstairs here. And earlier today, a woman avoiding the fare punched a New York City police officer, a male, in the nose, broke his nose. And this is just going to continue. So I think I got to get some guardian angels down here, wouldn't you say? Bring them here. Bring them on. That's right. At 116, too. You're right. This is where we made our reputation on the 4 and the 6 train in the Bronx in 1979.
Something to hide. Should have been.
Violator album, Depeche Mode, Policy of Truth, and nobody tells the truth more than Curtis Sliwa. We started the day yesterday with me on the air, doing a great job as always, and we had a really nice birthday celebration. Margot Katsimatidis and John Jr., the two of them, congratulations. They actually had AI create a song, Guardian of the Night, for Curtis. It was awesome. And then we had this beautiful cake with Curtis's face on it. John Katsimatidis, Margot, Chad, Emily was there too, me and Curtis's beautiful wife, Nancy. And then Curtis went to work. He didn't just celebrate his 70th birthday by going to Burger King and putting a crown on. My man went to 125th and Lexington, the scene of a murder the day before. And something tells me, I don't know this. I don't. I really don't. But something tells me that over the next 3 days, when the world will be in Massapequa, Hopog, and all over Long Island, that Curtis will be there too. Because he is, as far as I'm concerned, the real mayor in this city. He cares. He, and not a bunch of mumbo-jumbo words and crying and another son and a grave. And if Curtis was mayor, I would bet my salary that he'd be sleeping outside of Heastie's office, sleeping outside of Stuart Cousins' office. You want to arrest me? So what? Here comes number 82. He would not leave until somebody heard him. May not get it done. May not get it done. But he wouldn't leave until somebody heard him. And that's why he deserves your vote when he runs again. The icon, the legend, Mr. Guardian Angel, my friend Curtis Sliwa.
Thank you. Thank you, Sid, and to all the staff and personnel here at WABC. My wife, afterwards, Nancy, was there because she joins me on the Rip and Read Tuesdays and Thursday, does a deep dive behind the headlines, said, wow, you know, you're the most difficult person in the world to get along with. And these people are really like giving you love today. I said, yeah, it's just today.
But no.
They know when I roam the halls here,
no,
man.
Love you. They
I'm
love
on
you.
A mission.
And yeah, I mean, you do tend to lose it once in a while. And not that long ago, Lou wanted to kill you.
Yes.
But we already do love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but Lou, get online. There's a whole bunch of people. Sid is responsible for keeping them from killing me.
That's true.
And doing all kinds of nefarious things to me. So just, it's like you're going to the bakery on Sunday, you know, this crowd outside double yes. park. You get a ticket and you wait online. What are you here for? You here for the struyadel or the cannoli? No, we're here to get a ticket because we want to kill Curtis after what he said on Sid in the morning.
But in the same spirit, it wasn't that long ago that almost all my friends, all of them, Peter King, Pat Ryder, Joe Cairo, all of Nassau County wanted to kill you too.
Oh, yes.
But when you arrive, sometime over the next 3 days, if not all 3 days, you'll be treated like a king. The world is coming around to you, Curtis.
No, I'm not the king. Maybe the prince. Remember, Peter King is the king.
That's right.
I can't take the crown off his head. He's Mr. Nassau County. What a great interview with Pat Ryder.
Thank you.
Magnificent.
Thank you.
I met his wife recently when I was campaigning for Republicans. Wow. You say to yourself, now we know why so many New York City cops are leaving our department that is desperately in need, going to Nassau, going to Suffolk, and just leaving. You got to have people like Pat Ryder saying, I got your backs. Instead of what we saw yesterday, I could not continue the celebration last night, sit on my 70th birthday. I had to go up to 125th and Lex, where I got my peeps. You know me. I know the emotionally disturbed, the homeless, the drug dealers, the drug users. And I went up there, and as I would tell the transit police chief and Eddie Caban and everyone else, if you don't clean the upstairs up, this is on the street where the old path mark used to be. They had to close the path mark. They couldn't operate the path mark because of the shoplifting, the boosting, and other stores that are closed. If you don't clean up that area, you're going to continue to have problems down on the subway. This guy who pushed like a 50-year-old Bronx guy was just
53 years old,
53, going home like he was going home every night, waited to the exact time when that number 4 train was heading uptown, pushed him in front of that train. When you saw him being let out of the 25th precinct, He was laughing, smiling. He's emotionally disturbed. There are so many of them who live in the subway, live in the streets.
But here's the thing. While you show heart, and I'll give you credit, you show heart to these people. I'm not a heartless bastard by any stretch. I'm a very, very sensitive. I'm a good guy. I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of them because the majority, yes, all they do is pee on themselves and talk to themselves and don't hurt anybody. But for the couple that do hurt people, they kill people.
Right,
they punch people in the face. They scare my son every day.
Let me give you an example.
I'm not okay with these people.
You know that I've been outside of Creedmoor trying to stop them bringing in more illegals, migrants into the tents. There are 1,000 single able-bodied men with nothing to do, nowhere to go of military age. As I walked into Creedmoor, and I went from building to building, which is there to house the mentally disturbed, the mentally ill, only 30% of the beds are occupied. That means 70% of the beds are empty. This is Kathy Crime Wave Hochul's problem. She is the governor. That's a state facility.
Well, if you want to be honest, and everybody keeps calling Andrew Cuomo my buddy. You've done it. Brian Kilmeade did it this morning. And he's not. We've had conversations. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had conversations with almost every politician in this city. They want to talk to me. That's where I am right now. I'm in that position. But the truth is, before Hochul, for all the all the beat we give Cuomo with congestion pricing, the nursing homes, bail reform, he was the guy that shut down those facilities. Yeah, is that not true?
Yes, 30,000 beds when he took over for my husband-in-law, David Patterson, and it went down to 3,000. He cut that. But worse yet, when you join me tonight, because I am going to Brady Park, I've been back and forth to get permission from the king, Peter King, to come. Because you're right. There was a time I was at Matt Speak with Dinah getting all kinds of information about Architect Rex. And boy, Peter King was upset. Pat Ryder was upset at me. It was contentious.
All of them.
John.
Mother, they weren't thrilled with you in the beginning with Mozzie either, but then you came around.
Yes. I tell you, the point is that it was contentious. And you helped heal the rift. John Catsimatidis helped heal the rift. Now we couldn't get along better, especially since I'm trying to keep the illegals from coming over into Nassau County. But I'm going to be at Brady Park this evening, 7 o'clock. You have the candlelight procession in honor of the police officer and all police, really. I'm taking the Long Island Railroad. I want people to know New York City. You can go out there just a few blocks away from Brady Park.
Correct.
Go out there. Get there early. Because, you know, you may say, oh, I got to take the car. You know, it's in the middle of rush. You're right. Just get on the Long Island Railroad.
And by the way, the railroad is not exactly the 3 train. I mean, it's nice.
No.
It's a nice trip.
No, and you get out there.
I take it to Citi Field all the time when Danielle worked in Great Neck. I always took the railroad.
Check the directions. Brady Park. I'm taking the Long Island Railroad. Maybe you'll be jumping on with me. Then I'm going to the Massapequa Funeral Home both Thursday and Friday night, from the 7 to 9, the South Chapel there. And then I'm going to try to make it to St. Rose of Lima, 10:30 in the morning, 2 Bayview Avenue for the funeral mass.
Is that in Calverton?
Saturday morning.
Is that Calverton or Hopog? I forgot exactly what town it is. So you're going to do all of that. And
Kathy, again, we got to show.
I agree.
Our, not only respect for this dead hero officer and his family. He leaves behind a wife and a 1-year-old child. But all police officers everywhere. Look, yesterday I'm at 125th Street. The cops are there to try to stop, finally, fare evasion. You know I've been talking about it. I say, if you don't control who comes into the system, you lose control of the system. Okay, so finally. So a male police officer comes up to a female, says, you just came in, you didn't pay your fare, please step over here, man. Boom! She socks him right in the schnoz, breaks his nose. She goes down for the count. She goes, I can't breathe. I would bet you she's emotionally disturbed. You go up in the street. In fact, the mayor, at his press conference yesterday, and I'm going to play it today on the Rip and Read. You have to listen, 12-1, the Rip and Read. In which he said, I was there a year ago. I saw the craziness going on. We stopped. We watched people running through the turnstiles, running through the emergency gate. Eric, that was a year ago. What have you done since?
Well, they do have the no fair play now in effect. I don't want to pick on
Tim, but the point being is, imagine, the cop is trying to do his job.
Of course.
The woman hits him. Now, what's going to happen to this woman?
Nothing.
Going to be released.
Of course.
Like they all get and you mentioned Andrew Cuomo. Hey, Andrew, I know you're listening out there in Southport at the home of Fredo, your brother, Chris. I send him a tu sil proviamo svacin. Why don't you show up at the candlelight vigil tonight, and I will announce to everyone there, Todd Kominsky, your own, created this no cash bail. You know who signed it into law? You know who supported it? You know who hasn't apologized for it? Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo.
Todd Kominsky is really the reason why Bruce Blakeman beat Laura Curran.
Yes.
And I love Laura, and she was a great executive, but I love Bruce, too, so I'm not all that upset. But you're right, Kominsky, who Bernard called out almost
every day,
was the architect.
Bernard.
Yes, he did.
McGurk, you were there, Long Beach Catholic.
Listen, I was at a big event in Eisenhower Park with Laura Curran.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this. She had veterans there. It was a really lovely event. She had that group of girls who seemed like the Andrews sisters. It was great. And I go up on stage, and all of a sudden, Todd Kominsky is there. And I said to Laura, I go, did you invite him? And she goes, no.
Shanda.
I didn't invite him.
A shanda with
of course,
the scratchy
of
attic.
Course. But I got to ask you this, talking about the mayor. You have devoted a lot of time and effort, and you've done a great job in places like Staten Island. Now, once again, Brooklyn and Queens are in trouble. Maybe we'll get some help from...
I've already had meetings.
Yeah, so
I'm going to get you involved on the Rockaway effort there.
And I've even taken these meetings between you and I. We'll talk later outside the state. Anyway, why does the mayor think it's a good idea to incentivize people in Nicaragua right now or Venezuela or any of these other countries to come here? Why would he ever give credit cards... upwards of $18,000 in credit. I don't care how difficult it is for these women and children. I mean, I do care. I'm not a bad guy. I got a heart. But you're going to incentivize more of these illegals to come to New York? Explain that to me.
Well, let me explain to you, because there is a man on the run out there today who was skipped out of Columbus, Ohio. His name Moreno. He's the TikTok guy who is telling all the illegals, the migrants, hey, America's dream is real. All you got to do is what I do, scam the system. You can be a squatter. And he tells them all the rules about squatting everywhere place. He goes, I make $350 a week from the federal government with my wife and daughter. I go out, I beg in the street. He shows this on TikTok. Guess who his sponsor was in coming across the border? Catholic Charities. I've told you over and over, we need to conduct a RICO conspiracy investigation of Catholic Charities, which when nobody will step forward for an illegal alien or migrant to say, I'll take responsibility, they are his contact on his papers. Catholic Charities, why are you participating in bringing in individuals with criminal intent, saying the American dream is true, teaching people you can pretend you're injured, work is for slaves, millionaires don't work. This is from Moreno himself, an agent of Maduro, the socialists in Venezuela, like the Mariolitos came over from Cuba in 1980, and the sucker Jimmy Carter said, give me your tired, you're poor. And Fidel Castro said, forget that. I'm giving you my criminals and my mentally disturbed. Are we stupid enough to see this happen again? Yes, asleep at the wheel. And who's helping Moreno get into the country? Good old Catholic Charities. Remember that on Good Friday, Easter Sunday, ask your parish priest if there are any left. Why the hell is our church aiding and abetting illegal immigration and invasion into our country, and a guy named Moreno who teaches all of them how to scam the American system? Hide what you have to hide and tell what you have to tell. You'll see one.
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Is this something going on? I know it's not Phil Collins' birthday, Lewis, so what do we got?
All right, you got three chances.
All right, I'm going to go with Mike Rutherford.
Nope.
I'm going to go with Peter Gabriel.
Nope.
Mookie Wilson.
Who played stand-up bass on this song, he is 62.
62,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, it's a big sports day. We're going to get back to John Diller, the hero cop who was murdered, with Peter King coming up, and we'll talk about Diller a lot the next few days because he deserves that, his beautiful wife and his one-year-old son. But it is a big sports day in that last night my Rangers, because I love my hockey Rangers, they are the first team in the NHL to clinch a playoff spot. How about that? And also the first team to get to 100 points in their effort to win the President's Cup. Right now they're a point ahead of Boston, 3 points ahead of Carolina, atop the Metro Division. Been an unbelievable year. They beat the Flyers last night in overtime. Adam Fox with the game winner. But you've also got opening day baseball tomorrow. The Mets opening up in Queens against the Brewers, weather permitting. The Yankees in a possible ALCS preview in Houston, taking on the Astros. And tomorrow also marks the return of NCAA basketball action. We start the Sweet 16 coming up tomorrow. And that gives me an opportunity to thank one of our dear friends here at the station, Jake's 58. Jake's 58 Casino Hotel in Islandia, New York, for sponsoring the 77 WABC Big Basketball Bracket Challenge. They've been a great partner to WABC. That's a great place to go. Great place to go. Be sure to check out their Slam Dunk Stay Package. You'll love it. Jake's 58 Casino Hotel, exit 58 off the LIE. That's where Long Island wins. For more information, visit jakes58.com.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
It's tough. You know, I have friends that are police officers. The customers are coming in and they're saying, listen, whatever these police officers need or whatever they have, their meals, please, I'll pay for it.
Heaven goes out once again to Jonathan Diller, the Diller family. Young man, 31 years old, only on the force for 3 years. Taken way too early. Way too early.
And the voice before that was the man at a restaurant, which I've been to, thanks to my dear friend Peter King and his lovely wife Rosemary. And in fact, the last time I was there, it was Pete and Rosemary. It was Anthony D'Esposito, who's in Israel this morning, Joe Cairo, and a lot of the folks that make Nassau County great. You heard Pat Ryder on this show an hour ago, and you all loved him, all of you. He is the great congressman right there with Rudy Giuliani as the two best politicians locally in my lifetime, my dear friend Peter King. Pete, good morning, and as a longtime congressman from that area with the Diller family living in Massapequa Park, let me start by saying I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd say it's a real tragedy, and actually for the 28 years that I was in Congress, my office was in Massapequa Park, right on Park Boulevard, I guess about three blocks from Brady Park, a few blocks from where Officer Diller lives. So, no, this is a real tragedy. Massapequa Park is a tremendous community. It has a true blue-collar ethic, and you can always count on them to be there. And it's really, though, it's such a horrible, horrible tragedy. And like you, I'm just fed up with people talking about how sorry they feel, how terrible it is. The fact is that I would say going back the last 4 or 5 years, virtually none of the politicians at the city or state level have done anything. In fact, they've increased it. When the riots were going on the streets and during the George Floyd situation, and the cops had Molotov cocktails and bricks thrown at them, and Andrew Cuomo out in the street saying he was proud to be with the protesters. When cops were under attack, de Blasio wanted to defund the cops. At the state level, all they do is tie the cops' hands. They reduce penalties. I see Speaker of the Assembly, Carl Hastie, said yesterday that increasing penalties doesn't stop crime. I mean, this is the nonsense. Not nonsense. This is the garbage that's out there. And it's time for, I agree with you, Mayor Adams has to go to the mat. You know, every issue in politics, you can negotiate. How much money for this? How much for this? How much for that? And so I can understand why you want to sort of sometimes pull your punches, but not on this. You're talking about life and death. You're talking about the most basic civil right of all. And on that, he should go with this and fight every day, go public, attack them every day, and risk his career, risk everything until we get the legislation that's needed to protect the cops, to protect the people, and to stand with the forces of law and order. And not to be, this is not a regular political issue that you can negotiate. It's this or nothing. And he should go up there and just say, and every day, name and shame everyone up there, go around and say, build up a force, build up an army of people who are willing to stand for what's right. The majority of people would be with him. They'd be with you. They'd be with me. They'd be with the cops. But no one is really articulating enough within the city or the state. Thank God you mentioned Nassau County. You got Bruce Blakeman. You got Joe Saladino. You got Don Claiborne. We go through all of them. They stand with the cops all the way. And Pat Ryder does a phenomenal job as police commissioner. But again, it's becoming like an oasis. And you have Nassau and Suffolk. And you have New York City. What's going on in there? It's, again, I think Eric Adams meant well, but somehow he wants to treat law and order and crime as another issue to be negotiated. You can't negotiate. It's either this way or no way, and you fight. If you lose, you lose, but you can't ever just walk away from it.
Like I said to Pat Ryder this morning, you know, you and Cairo and Ryder and Blakeman and D'Esposito and Lolita, you're all Republicans. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. You've got law and order because you're all Republicans. This city, they're all Democrats. It's a mess. And it's really idiotic when you consider how poorly the mayor is doing right now. Poorly. Approval rating less than 40%. Every poll that comes out has Cuomo beating him by 30 points, and Cuomo wasn't exactly a load of good dog either there. So you would think he would do anything, and I think he'd be a hero. He'd be, if he slept outside of Heastie's office or Stuart Cousins' office, right? If he got nothing done,
yep,
but he slept outside the office and said, I'm not leaving, he'd be a hero. I promise you that approval rating would go up 10%. I don't need him last night at Gracie Mansion throwing a party for Natalie Sanandaji. I don't need it. Go to Albany and just camp out. Camp out and show New Yorkers that you care about crime and dead cops and people shoved in front of the subway more than anything else.
Yeah, this is wartime. That's what this is, war. And you go after the state assembly, the state senate, the governor, also the district attorneys, people like Bragg. We can go down the whole list. The city council. It's a disgrace. You know, you talk about how it was when Giuliani came in. At that time, Rudy was great. Bill Bratton was great. And then Each one after that was great as far as...
Ray Kelly was the best.
Ray Kelly was phenomenal, and I've known Ray for years. In fact, my father trained him in the police academy back in the 1960s. In fact, Ray and I actually overlapped in school for a while. Now, Ray is a great guy, absolutely. The cops were great. But the fact is then, you also helped the city council. You had the district attorneys, like Morgenthau and others, who stood with the cops. Today, the cops are under siege from the bad guys in the street, from the bad guys in Albany, the bad guys in city council, and the bad DAs. So someone has to mobilize the forces against this. Stand with the cops. And again, right now, I agree with you, go to the state legislature every day. And you know, the average person has no idea who Carl Hastie is or Stuart Cousins is. The fact is, let everybody know, they are the faces of evil right now as far as the issue of law and order is concerned.
Couldn't have said it any better, Pete. We're going to take a short break. And while I've been very angry for 2 days, you know that, and you are too, and doing a great job here. You know, every time there's a tragedy, not every time, I shouldn't say that, but often, when there's a tragedy, that's when New York, despite all of its problems, and there are many problems, it's a disaster right now. Don't listen to the mayor. It's a disaster. But that's when New Yorkers tend to step up, especially good New Yorkers, like the folks in Nassau County and Long Island. When we get back, we're going to talk about the outpouring of love from Donald Trump to Frank Siller to an everyday guy in Massapequa with the great Peter King. Keep it right here.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Brian Ferry, Roxy Music at 8:01 on your Wednesday morning, back here with the great Congressman Peter King. And again, Pete, you heard the Nassau County Police Commissioner Pat Ryder just over an hour ago, and we talked about this beautiful candlelight ceremony you guys will have tonight in Brady Park in Massapequa Park for Jonathan Diller. And I would expect it'll be a very big crowd, yes?
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And you'll have so many people there, like Anthony D'Esposito, Joe Saladino, the supervisor, Bruce Blakeman. But more than that, more than any of us, it's going to be the rank-and-file people from Massapequa Park, Massapequa, Seaford, Wantagh, that whole community. All those people are pro-cop. They're pro-American. You can always count on them at times like this, like after 9/11. There's been different cops shot over the years. The people come out. They are with them. They're with them all the way. And somehow we have to harness that. We have to mobilize that. I mean, I remember in the last election for governor, Lee Zeldin ran a great race. New York City was out of control. The governor was doing a terrible job. And yet Manhattan, I think it went more than 2-1 for Democrats. Yeah. And we have to be able to convince people, let them know that that those who are responsible for all this crime and disorder are these Democrats. I'm not that partisan guy. But right now, this is not the party of Ed Koch. This is not, you know, the party of Al Smith or John Kennedy. This is the party of the left wing, the progressive wing, who are anti-cop, who want to change the whole society around. People like Alvin Bragg, who's lucky he's not arrested himself. This is an absolute disgrace.
Letitia James said, well, I am biased. I am. And as I'm getting older, it's getting worse. They're anti-cop. They're anti-Israel. They're anti-everything I stand for. It's the Democrats. Every policy in this city, from bail reform to defunding police, to the transgender issue, to having drama queens, drag queens, whatever the hell you call these people, reading to my children. I mean, it goes on and on. Every single policy in this country that is devastating is a Democrat policy. So I'm not going to be afraid to say it. I am biased. I'm disgusted by that party. And again, this guy died in Queens. All Democrats, right? Donovan, Gregory Meeks, Eric Adams.
Absolutely.
People die when they live in Democrat cities and states. Bottom line, Peter.
And you're absolutely right. As I said, the Democratic Party today is not the Democratic Party of years ago. And the point I was trying to make, we have to convince people that, you know, you're not talking about your grandfather's Democratic Party. You're talking about this Democratic Party today. It's the party of Alvin Bragg. You're right. It's the party of people who want to tear apart society as we knew it, as we knew it. They want to tear down traditional values. They want to take down the people who stand for what's right. And again, I go back to me, there are a lot of turning points, but nothing was worse than the George Floyd riots, when you didn't see one New York City politician defend the cops, not one. And the cops are out there every night, under siege, and all we heard was anti-cop. You have people like Kamala Harris willing to post bail money to the people who were locked up in the George Floyd riots. So, again, that is their party. They have now taken it over, and we have to, as Republicans, conservatives, come together at independence and say we have to stand for what's right, stand with the cops. There's no 50-50 about this. This is a 100-0.
Yep.
You have to stand with the police against crime. It's as simple as that. And those who don't have blood on their hands.
Well said. So, you know, I played that cut from your friend who owns Umberto's. Earlier this morning, I played a cut from a lady who owns Tim's Florist in Massapequa Park. So it seems like the businesses in that area are really very, very beautiful. Bending over backwards to support the Diller family, to support police, and anybody who comes out to that area over the next 4 days where you've got funeral, obviously the burial, just some very, very heart-wrenching stuff. It does seem like the locals, the businesses in that area, Peter, are doing everything they can to help out that family and the folks in that area.
Absolutely. No, they are 1,000% behind the cops. And actually, the Umberto's is different from the one you were at. Yeah. You were King Umberto's.
Okay.
This Umberto's, this was right next to my office in Massapequa Park. It's a great location. It's a great place. But the florists in the community, you go up and down the line, the pharmacist, he's active in local politics. Everybody in that community, it's great. I mean, I went to work, and every time I was back here in the district, I went to my district office in Massapequa Park. It was great. And I still, you know, go to the bank next door. It's just great to be there. They are great people. This is what America is all about. It should be all about. It's what New York City used to be all about also, until it got taken over by the progressive liberal left. And again, I keep going back to when those riots in the streets and the cops were under siege, and Andrew Cuomo said, I'm out to stand with the protesters. He's the guy who signed the bail reform law, and all that stuff was looked upon as great reforms. And for them to say they didn't know what it was going to be, that's BS. They knew exactly what they were doing, but now it's blown up in their faces to try to walk away from it. You can't let them walk away from it. We got to elect our people. When I say our people, the people who believe in law and order, and right now they are all in the Republican Party.
So what's your parting words here, Peter? I mean, people in that area, well, all over, we love you. We all love you, obviously. But specifically in that area, where you really are the king, what are your parting words, not just for the Diller family, but for the NYPD and friends and family in Massapequa that will be going to this courageous cop's funeral in 2 days?
Let me just tell you that I heard from Anthony D'Esposito that the ambassador to the Holy See that said they're going to be ambassador in honor of Jonathan Diller in the Vatican. What I'm saying is stand with the cops, not just in times like this when things are terrible, but be with them all the time, because what is a good day for us can turn out to be a bad day for a cop. Never, never join in the anti-police message. Always stand with the cops. Be there. Believe in the traditional American values. Always be proud to be an American. Stand with our allies. You say, Sid, Israel right now and the United States should be in this together. Instead, even there now, we're being divided because of the Democrats, because of, again, people like, I can't believe the Democratic Party, what they're doing. But stand with America. Stand with the cops. Never give in, and protect your neighborhood.
Nassau County is lucky to have you, Peter. I love you. Thank you for a really, really great appearance this morning. And again, I'm sorry, and good luck the next few days. Okay, pal?
And I'll be at the funeral with Anthony D'Esposito. We're going to show our support for the cops.
Of course you will, because you're a great guy. So was Anthony, by the way. I know he's in Italy. I think he's going to Israel. Maybe he's coming home. I don't know. Either way, Peter King, that's an excellent, excellent job. The great former congressman, who still does a lot of great stuff on the island, and he's got a big heart. He'll be there. So will a lot of you. The more that show, the better. Like Peter just said, show your love to Jonathan Diller, God rest his soul. Show your love to the NYPD. And stick it up the Democrats' ass.
WABC. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
So we had three guys on the show already. They were all great. Nassau County Police Commissioner Pat Ryder, my man Curtis Sliwa, and Peter King. Now we got three girls coming up. Well, how about that? The new RNC co-chair and the daughter-in-law of the next president of the United States, my dear friend Larry Trump will be here. 8:45, Jeanine Pirro, always great on a Wednesday, 9:15, and Jacqueline Tovarov. Coming up at 9:35, I read this in the 6 o'clock hour. I want to read it again. I got this DM from somebody named Mom, not my mom, not Naomi, just Mom, on Instagram yesterday, at Rosenberg.Sydney. It's private because of all the death threats I've gotten since Israel, which is true. So it's private, but you can send me a request at Rosenberg.Sydney. It says, hello, Sid. I never send a DM to posting, but felt so compelled today. This was yesterday. As the mother of a police officer, I am horrified and heartbroken over the senseless shooting of Jonathan Diller by a chronically repeat criminal who has shown no remorse over this offense and his past history. As I listened to you today, this was yesterday, I felt your frustration and anger over this repeated situation in our state with seemingly no end in sight. You have a powerful and profound voice for all New Yorkers that are disgusted with legislators like Heastie, Stuart Cousins, Hochul, Bragg Adams, and the no-cash bail laws that allow these repeat criminals to come back on our streets and endanger everyday citizens as well as our police. Perhaps in your morning message tomorrow, which is today, you can let all New Yorkers who listen, and that is a huge number, thank you, to call the offices of these people and demand they change this ridiculous law to protect the good and caring people of New York. Then she talks about tonight's candlelight service at Brady Park, Massapequa Park, honoring Officer Diller. That's at 7 o'clock. So what are we talking about here? When the mayor comes out and says, hey, man, I don't like it. Not good enough for you? I've done a complete 180 here, you can tell, I guess, but I don't care anymore. I don't want to hear what you like, what you don't like. That's all we get with this mayor and a lot of Democrats in this city and state. Do something. Do something. I keep saying it. I don't mean it literally, necessarily. Go punch somebody across the face. I don't care how much money they hold back for education. Our schools suck anyway. I don't care how much money they hold back for housing for the union. I don't care. Cops are dying. People are being thrown in front of subways. New Yorkers are scared to death. If you're the mayor, you wake up every day and that's it. I don't care about electric cars or ghost cars. Most New Yorkers don't care. That's evidenced by your approval rating, which is now less than 40%. We don't care. We want somebody who's going to fight, not who said, well, I went there and they told me to go home. Go up there and sleep outside their door. Bang on the door. Get arrested. Huh? You make fun of Donald Trump? My man? My guy? A son of a bitch is going to win again because he's not scared. They've arrested this guy 6 times. Get arrested. Sleep outside the door. Don't leave until you get in Stuart Cousins' face. And Heastie's face. And if you get nothing done, so what? At least you tried. You haven't tried. You know you haven't. It's nonsense. I've been up there. I don't care how many times. You haven't tried. Take a real stand. Show us you care. Stop telling us how great things are when people are scared to death to come to this city. I know those people. They won't come here anymore. Now you got young girls my daughter's age that walk around the block and get punched across the face. Perception is reality. 2 days ago, another person shoved in front of a moving train. 2 days ago, another dead young cop. We don't need to see you crying in front of a microphone, you and Eddie. Don't need it. No, thank you. We want you to get pissed. Like I'm pissed. I spend a lot of money in taxes, a lot. Half my paycheck is gone for this godforsaken city. Least you can do is spend 3 days up there, 4, 5, 6, 7. You don't make the laws, I get it. I get it. So inevitably, you can claim you're not responsible. But you're our voice, goddammit. Act like you care. Just act like it. Don't react. That's all you guys do is react. Somebody's dead, oh my God. We've had enough. Go up there today. Don't even bother going to Brady Park tonight. Don't go to Massapequa Park. Don't go to the funeral. You want to make Diller's wife happy? You want to make the NYPD happy? The guys that are honest? Go to Albany today. Today. Tell Kathy Hochul what she's done is not nearly good enough. Don't give her credit. I'm sick of you giving people like Kathy Hochul credit. Telling me that Agent Adams is your sister from another mother. It's old. It's tired. People are dying. You're a cop. Good cop, bad cop, depends upon who you talk to. But you're a cop. Do something. Don't cry at the podium. Do something. A million miles below that beat. A million miles, a million miles. I'll be with you, girl, not being low. Hey, 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 not being slow. I'll be with you, girl. Is gonna make me sleep, but just one rose, it knows your name.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
But you say he's just a friend.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
You know what's funny about radio? For a lot of hosts like myself, but I do a segment and then I go to commercial break, and I totally forget what I even talked about. So sometimes I got to check my phone, because my phone has not stopped buzzing since I broke at 8:26, and people are complimenting me. I good, fine. Thank you. I think I just spoke on behalf of all of us. And the reason why this show is number one specifically is because I curse. Kidding. Is because I am unafraid. I don't care. I call out the blacks that harass Jews and Asians and commit crimes way more than the population should. I call out the pro-Palestinians. I have a friend of mine that just told me kids are nervous to wear a yarmulke in the street. I go, no. Don't do that. Remember what we said after 9/11? Don't let the terrorists win. Don't let them win. I know it's scary. My son Gabriel, he wears his Israeli dog tags outside his sweatshirt, and I'm glad he does. I'm nervous, but I'm glad he does. And there's a big issue in this city. Yes, recidivists, they're just criminals. It's a fancy name for somebody who commits a lot of crimes. They're criminals. That's it. No more categories, Adams. They're criminals. A lot of other groups in the city that just have no respect. I mean, none. And it ain't the Orthodox Jews. Right? I don't see Jewish people walking down the street kicking the crap out of Asians. I just don't see that. So I'm going to say it. No one else has the balls to say it. I'm going to say it. And I got to tell you, I have, you know, just like I felt in Israel with Justin, if I wasn't 57 married with kids, I'd be in the IDF right now. That's how much Israel affected me. I got to tell you, I've thought about taking Anthony D'Esposito, one of my other congressman friends, and going to Albany. I'll lay outside their offices till I get arrested. I don't care. Then Danielle will kill me, of course, but that's how much I care. I'm really disgusted. And if the mayor won't do it, somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to do it. And if the city is not bad enough, this president of ours, I mean, I nearly beat the living daylights. Well, I did beat the living daylights out of an 85-year-old scholar on this show yesterday. And stop with the nasty messages. I still love Alan Dershowitz. Some of you on social media get way too nasty. He's a good man. He's a brilliant man. He's a friend of mine. But he sounds like a hypocrite. And quite frankly, makes me sound like the smarter one, which ain't easy. You know, on and on about giving Joe Biden another chance. For why? What has Joe Biden done to deserve another chance? The last time Dershowitz was on, he said to me, if he goes anywhere near that red line, I'm done. Well, he went there. He went there. He did not veto the UN resolution. He went there, and now Dershowitz is like, I'm going to give him one more chance. Why? What is it with these Democrats, this ridiculous loyalty to this Jew-hating party? What is it? My sister, my brother-in-law, Alan Dershowitz, otherwise smart-minded people that become stupid. It's not the same party as it was in 1970. They're not the same people. Chuck Schumer has changed over the last 20 years. And this young crop,
You want to align yourself, if you're a Jew, with Rashida Tlaib and Omar and AOC and even self-hating Jews like Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer? You want them to speak for you? You're a disgrace. The pro-Palestinians are out there supporting murder. Do you understand that? They support murder. They support Hamas. And the president is making a speech on health care in North Carolina. And these animals, who we've seen way too much of in New York City, they act up again. Now, what do you think Trump would do? Get them out, get them out, get them out. This asshole, Joe Biden, says I got a point. They interrupt the president. They're yelling and they're screaming. And he says, yeah, you got a point. Play this.
Be patient with them. They have a point. We need to get a lot more care into the
country. And now he gets applause. He's getting applauded by the pro-Palestinians. People that support Hamas and murder, and he's taking in the applause like he's at the Academy Awards. And you're going to vote for this guy? You're going to vote for this guy? Tell me Donald Trump is a bad person? Are you nuts? I read something in JNS this morning. JNS.org. That is the best place to get your news on Israel. Nothing comes close. Nothing. And they said it. They said it. It's official. Joe Biden and the United States have betrayed Israel. The West has betrayed Israel. And I got to hear Dershowitz tell me yesterday he has to go back to the Biden he was on October the 6th. Oh, so let me get it straight. So if he goes back, Alan, to the guy on October the 6th, isn't that still the same guy that in not one but two administrations dating back to Jew-hater Barack Obama, enriched Iran, who made all these attacks on Israel possible? You like that guy? That guy's okay. October 6th, he was pro-Israel. How? He funded Iran. This is insane what's going on in society today. It's insane. The United States is a mess. It's a mess. I saw it firsthand when they threw me out of the State of the Union. I see it. And now, Israel, sooner than later, they're going to fight this alone. They're going to have nobody. And we knew the rest of the world would turn on Israel. We knew that. But outside of me, I'm going to say this right now. I got to do it. For all you folks that rip me all the time, he's a sports guy, knows nothing about politics. Bernard was the brains behind the operation, which, by the way, was somewhat true. But Bernard could not be any more right than I've been the last, I don't know how long, about everything. Since October the 9th, there's been nobody in this country, except for maybe Mark Levin, who's been more right about Israel than me. Nobody. I mean, I saw a story yesterday. This makes me sick. On CNN, Israeli woman who was held hostage by Hamas speaks out on her abduction and sexual assault in Gaza. She goes on to describe, she's beautiful, by the way, 40 years old. Not that it matters, but she is. 40 years old, how she was sitting on a bed and the terrorist came and sat next to her. She closed her legs. He opened them. He put a gun to her and dragged her to the bedroom and raped her. That was one of many times. You guys tell me, October 9th, not February 9th, who was the guy talking about gang rapes and sexual assaults in Israel? Tell me, Lou, who was it?
I work with him.
Yeah. Who was the guy that told you way back then how Joe Biden and the Democrats were never pro-Israel? Never.
It's from day one, and I'm not just saying it. You've been right on all of it.
All of it.
All of it.
Thank you.
And probably not enough, coming from you, and you can only do so much, but you've said everything.
Well, thank you.
I'm only laughing across from you because it's so obvious and apparent, and it's lunacy that no way the powers don't see it. And it's sad.
Oh, they see it. They
something's wrong.
They're hateful.
Way wrong.
No, they're hateful. They don't care. All this president cares about is votes in Michigan and money. That's all he cares about. Votes in Michigan and money. He couldn't care less if 1,000 Jews were raped and murdered today. And yet, Jews will vote for him. My own people are our worst enemy. They disgust me. When Donald Trump goes on Sebastian Gorka's show and says any Jew that votes for a Democrat is a disgrace, Donald Trump is 1,000% correct.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, they hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, God, I love that. How many times do you think we played that already? Gotta take a guess, 100 times? Just go to my Instagram and Facebook account right now. There's a picture of me davening at the Wailing Wall, or the Western Wall in Israel. And I couldn't agree with President Trump anymore. My own family and friends, disgraceful. My own sister, voting for Democrats. They hate the Jews. So Donald Trump has been right the whole way for the better part of 10 years. And his daughter-in-law, she's the real star. Now the co-chair of the RNC. I'm proud to call her a close friend. She's been great for me on this show. The great Lara Trump. Lara, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I don't know if the accolade might be too big. It's very nice of you to say. Don't give me too much pressure here, Sid. I don't know. I want to try to live up to it.
No, you always do, and everything I say is true. In fact, I probably don't say enough. That's how great you are. But tell me how it's been so far the first couple of weeks as the RNC co-chair.
Well, it's been amazing. As people probably noticed, the week after I was elected as co-chair and Michael Whatley was elected as chairman of the RNC, there were some big changes. We did a lot of, shall we say, staff restructuring within the RNC. I think the nice thing right now, and something that I can say this as someone who's been through now three presidential campaigns, it's shocking, Sid. I mean, the fact that I'm like 18 years old and I've been through three already, amazing. But this is my third one. And I'll tell you, the first two, there was never a true cohesive bond between the campaign and the RNC. We are one entity now. There is no daylight between these two organizations. And the nice thing is, instead of having two people to do the same job for the campaign and the RNC, we're utilizing the same people. We're saving money. We're making sure that every dollar donated to the RNC, to the Trump campaign, to our joint fundraising committee is going towards causes we care about, is going towards winning on November 5th. At the top of the ticket and all the way down. So we're approaching things differently. And I think the reality is we have to play this game differently if we want to win. The Democrats have been playing chess and we've been playing checkers now for decades, it seems. As Republicans, we're going to catch up now. We have 222 days to go. And I'm looking forward to a big victory on November 5th.
All right. Love it. So, you know, look, we're much better off with you and Whatley. I'm not here to crap on Ronna McDaniel. She had her time and she did some good things. It was over. That's fine. But what do you think about the way she's been treated by MSNBC and NBC? They hire her and then Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow and Nicole Wallace and those skanks, Joe and Mika, they go nuts. And then they fire her after one appearance on Meet the Press. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's just so obvious, isn't it? These people are just going to solidify what we all suspected about them and what they've all basically proven to us over the past 8 years, which is that they want to exist in an echo chamber. They don't want to give their audience even the hint of anything other than what they need to spoon feed them to keep them within the Democrat stranglehold. They don't want a wealth of different opinions and some discussions that might inform people on different viewpoints. They just want to recite verbatim the talking points that obviously are being handed down from the DNC, from the Biden campaign, from the Biden White House. And it is such a shame because, you know, if you actually get your information from these outlets, you are not well informed. They're giving you the information they want you to have. And it's pretty obvious they had Rana on there for less than a week of employment there at NBC. And obviously the talent is running the entire organization. These people are so afraid to step out of the bounds of anything that these folks might dictate as the hosts of their shows that they cowered to them. And it's just so sad for the future of the country that you have some organizations that call themselves news outlets and can't have a different opinion on there. What a shame.
So we're going to break momentarily, talk about the ruling for your father-in-law and your husband, Derek, and all that. But before we do, last time you were on, you got a lot of play because I told you this. There are still a lot of Republicans deathly afraid, that even though your father-in-law is winning just about every poll everywhere, that the Democrats are going to find a way to steal it from him. I got news for you. He's afraid. He's told me that both on the air and in confidence. But you are one of the people hard at work making sure that that doesn't happen, or at the very least, limiting that from happening. What are you doing to make that true?
Yeah, well, it's the most important thing, I think, election integrity in this upcoming election. You look back at 2020, you have 75 plus million Americans who say, what the heck happened there? And nobody gave us any answers. And if we do not have a country where we trust our election process here in America, we really aren't the United States of America anymore. So nothing could be more important. Look, at the RNC, we have the ability now to train poll workers. This is something that there was a moratorium on at the RNC for somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 years. A year ago, it was lifted. We are training people to work in these polling locations. We want lawyers in every single polling location across the country to ensure that if anything goes wrong in a second's notice, they can attack it. We also, Sid, have to make sure the message is loud and clear out there to everyone in this country. If you cheat in an election, we will prosecute you to the full extent of the law. Do not fall for it. Do not do it. It isn't worth trying because we will go after you. We have to take things into account like early voting, like ballot harvesting everywhere it is legal, mail-in voting. We want to encourage people across the country to vote in the way that you can vote and do it as early as you possibly can and then work every day up until election day after that to take people to the polls, to assist your friends and family in getting there. Make sure that every person is voting. And that way, as we head into November 5th, election day this year, we aren't playing catch-up. It is much harder for the Democrats to then cheat whenever we have such an advantage on our side. I had a great meeting yesterday at the RNC with a guy named Scott Pressler. People might be familiar with him. He has single-handedly registered more voters in this country for the Republicans than probably any person in history. He's incredible. We are going to legally, in every way we legally can, partner with his organization and work together with him because we share the same goals, which is winning on election day. We are pulling out all the stops. We're leaving nothing to chance because nothing is more important than winning this election.
Agreed. And talking about winning, I contend that your husband, your father-in-law, they won. And they won big a couple of days ago. We'll take a short break. This is the great Larry Trump. We'll come back and talk about the last couple of days that was for her father-in-law, her husband, and the country. Larry Trump, sticking with us. I got a woman, she want me to now. I got a woman, stay drunk all the time. I said I got a little woman, and she want me to. I send him all in when we go down to church.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Oh, let's do this. A beautiful and brilliant Larry Trump is still with me. Hey, Lara. Oh, I love this song. Blown it all sky high. hey, Lara.
Love that.
It's a good song. I think this guy's from North Carolina. I made that up. how about that,
that
Duke team?
Lovely.
I know. Your father-in-law found out a couple of days ago that the bond was no longer $500 million, but $175 million. Now, your husband, part of that too, $4 million, Eric, $4 million Junior. So you had your own stake in that. What were your thoughts when you heard that? Big win, right? Big win.
Well, it is a big win because the original bond was so obscene and exorbitant. I mean, like, it's crazy. You couldn't get a bonding company anywhere to actually give you that money, as evidenced by, you know, the fact that my husband and the entire Trump organization went out to 30 different sureties to try and secure a bond that size. It's never been done before. You know what's really sick, Sid?
Yeah.
What is really sick is that Bernie Madoff, who had a Ponzi scheme, the largest in history, took tens of billions of dollars away from people. Guess what his bond was? $10 million.
Yeah.
$175 million is still insane and over the top.
Yes.
But listen, it is something that's doable, so we will take that win. Yep. And hopefully what this means is that cooler heads will prevail in the future.
They
that
will.
Is on the right track, and we'll take it.
They will. And by the way, Sam Bankman-Fried, another guy, much lower bond, who, much like Bernie Madoff, robbed people of hundreds of millions of dollars. So he's in the same boat. Then we come to find the same day that, along with this repulsive, as Donald called her on this show, slob, the Attorney General Letitia James, this repulsive district attorney, Alvin Bragg, sets a court date now. It's going to be, the judge did, April the 15th. Selfishly, I'm glad he's going to be here for a couple of weeks. I'll get to see him. But on a serious note, how does that hinder his campaign, being here for possibly 8 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not ideal when you are the Republican nominee, or the obvious Republican nominee for president, to be stuck in a place like New York for that long. Although I will say Donald Trump is very focused on winning the state of New York, so don't kid yourself there. Maybe we could set up a couple of rallies while he's there in the area.
Oh.
But look, I think the truth is that we're in a very unique time in the history of this country. You've never had the opportunity in modern history to compare two presidencies and say, here's how this person operates as president because we've seen it, and here's how the other person operates as president because we've seen it. You can do that right now with Donald Trump and Joe Biden. So while him being out around the country campaigning, doing rallies is an important thing, people remember, Sid, the days of Donald Trump as president. They remember who made life more affordable for them, who made this country more safe and secure, who basically stabilized the entire world, whether you're talking about peace agreements in the Middle East that were historic, like the Abraham Accords, or historic trade agreements with China. These are things that were very positive for our country, but for the world in general. And people know who brought it to him. It was Donald Trump. People understand right now they are not better off with Joe Biden in the White House. So Joe Biden and his administration are doing a lot of campaigning for us, because every single day that passes, life is harder for people in this country.
Yep.
With Biden in that White House. And so, look, we'll do the best we can. We'll play this game that they're trying to make us play on the Democrat side. And I can assure you we'll be doing everything from the RNC to ensure that Donald Trump is back in that White House next January.
And we did discuss rallies, me and your father-in-law, even just on this show last Tuesday. So my hope is that he does get out in a bunch of places, and we'll be there right with him. Finally, in the final 60 seconds, I was talking to Brian Kilmeade, you know Brian from Fox News, and he said, you know, it may be a good idea for President Trump, because he's going to be stuck in court for 6 to 8 weeks, to start naming his cabinet. You know, tell me that Vivek is going to be here, or Tim Scott is going to be there. So when and if the president is caught in court and can't do something, those people can start to. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, surrogates are very important, obviously. And you just named two great surrogates right now for Donald Trump, Vivek Ramaswamy and Tim Scott. Now, I think what I would argue is that perhaps he wants to wait on naming his vice presidential running mate pick before we get to that cabinet. But yes, it is very important. And I think regardless of whether or not these people have a position within the administration in any respect, they understand the importance as well of this election. They understand that if Donald Trump is not back in that White House, we're going to lose this country. So we're going to be out there in full force. My entire family, I can guarantee you, will be out on the road, as well as some of these great surrogates like you just mentioned. But look, Brian's a smart guy. I'm not going to say I disagree with any of that. We'll see what happens over, you know, the next couple of months. It's going to get crazy. Everybody buckle up from now till November.
Yeah.
Wait, this is about to get wild.
It is. And it's going to make the party
even better, Lara. You're great. I love you. I really do. So continued success in your co-chair work, and we'll do this again very, very soon. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks so much.
All right, Lara. Lara Trump right there, ladies and gentlemen, the RNC co-chair, doing what she does about every 2 weeks on this show, kicking ass. Now, two more brilliant ladies about to come your way, Judge Jeanine Pirro and Jacqueline Toberoff. Keep it right here. You blown it all sky high by telling me a lie without a reason why. You blown it all sky high. You blown it all sky high. Our love had wings to fly. We could have touched the sky.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
Don't get me wrong. 9:18, your Wednesday morning. Judge Jeanine Pirro is MIA. I don't mean Miami. That's where P. Diddy is, though. So we've had an unbelievable show today. Not good, but great. Pat Ryder, Curtis Sliwa, Peter King, Larry Trump. Certainly a lot of rants from me between this city, this, I hate to say it, but this horrible city and this country. This horrible country, the city that talks a lot of stuff and does nothing, nothing. And this country that all of a sudden is very, very comfortable stabbing Israel in the back. My God, look where we are. Dead cops. People dead on the subway tracks. My daughter Ava turns 20 on April the 7th. God forbid she becomes the fourth beautiful young girl the last couple of days to walk in New York City and unprovoked have some psycho walk up and punch her across the face. But oh, silly us, it's all perception. Everything's great. Everybody's so happy. Look, no one's leaving. Oh, no one's running to Florida or Tennessee or North Carolina. Look at business. Look at all the great new business that comes here. While Donald Trump, they did him a favor. They did a huge favor, a huge, the appellate court, $270 million. But still, has to pay $175, significantly more than people like Bernie Madoff and Sam Bankman-Fried. But it's all perception. Things are great. I mean, the Rangers did clinch a playoff spot, so let's play that, in fact. That puts me in a good mood. Rangers played the Flyers last night, and Adam Fox, one of the best young defensemen in the NHL, in overtime, made the Rangers the first official playoff team in 2024, but we don't have an isolated weekend. Oh, you're such a dick. Why would you ice? Anything you put in the open. Here's a new rule.
I know.
Anything that goes in the open needs to be isolated.
Of course it
does. Everything.
Yes, of course. I know that. Honestly, I slipped up.
Okay.
So, that's on me. But
see, you're already better than Adams.
Yeah, well, I
at least you say I slipped up. That's on me, not, whoa. Not my fault.
Hey, listen, man, I've learned to always fall on your sword.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. Because eventually, well, the sword is going to hit you right in the heart, and you are going to die. So,
right.
You got to stand up yourself every now and then.
I do have it right here. I can play it off my computer.
Well, go ahead, play it.
I can play it off mine.
Oh, look at this.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Well, one of you guys play it. Sam Rosen. Go ahead.
We know Adams can't.
Trocheck and Fox on for the Rangers. Trocheck. Round the boards. Fox goes over to get it. Trocheck back to Fox. He's got room. He scores! There it is! Adam Fox wins it in overtime. Peter Laviolette's 800th career win.
You know this story about Sauce Gardner talking about sports? Noam, you know this story?
I don't know. What's the story?
The very, very good, maybe great. Young defensive back for the Jets. He took a shot at the Jews.
I didn't hear about this.
Oh, Sauce.
Oh, no.
Got saucy with the Jews.
It's going to be non-Jets this year. Watch.
Oh, no. He's on my S list. He done.
Oh, jeez.
He's on some guy, Aiden Ross, some Jew YouTuber, who I hate, too, and he's Jewish. I hate him. And Sauce... made the statement that many have made over the years, and that is that the Jews run the world. So first I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to tell you how Sauce is trying to save his ass. Here's Sauce, cut number 12.
I know this is going to sound, of course.
Oh, because he's black.
No, guys. A Jew sold it to me because I'm Jewish.
Wow.
Yeah. Straight up, I'm being honest.
No. I'm going to be honest. Like, no funny, weird shit. Y'all run the world. They got so much motion throughout the whole world.
Really?
Oh my goodness, bro. Y'all gotta see how they be walking in the airport with the one on the side of their head, that motherfucker stuck, it don't fall off.
You heard that, Noam?
That's bad.
Well, he came back and this is unbelievable. So Sauce Gardner and Aiden Ross, here's how they're trying to fix this. Somehow their explanation is Sauce said that in a good way. He was complimenting the Jews. Oh, hold on.
And how is that complimenting?
Well, he was saying, that the Jews work hard and they get stuff done. Hey, guys, Suzanne and Jack. So that was his contention, that he was complimenting the Jewish people when he said the Jews run the world. I mean, did you hear that, Lou? Did it sound to you like that was a compliment?
I'm going to need repeated hearings because...
Play it one more time.
I missed the nuance.
Yeah, let me play it one more time.
He makes fun of Hasidic Jews at the end. That's what
it sounds like.
He does.
I know. Well, was that Sauce? Was that Aiden Ross?
It's impossible.
No, it was definitely the football player. You could tell the difference between the voice.
Play it one more time.
I know this is going to sound, of course.
Oh, because he's black. Okay.
No, guys. A Jew sold it to me because I'm Jewish.
Wow.
Yeah. Straight up, I'm being honest.
No. I'm going to be honest. Like, no funny, weird shit. Y'all run the world.
All run the world. Stop it right there. So now I got to beat up Joe Beningo like I beat up Alan Dershowitz and everybody else. Right. You can't root for the Jets. How do you root for the Jets? First of all, they suck since Namath. Aaron Rodgers is a psycho. And now, according to Sauce Gardner, my people, which, by the way, we do. I can say that. You can't say that. I can say that. Chris Rock can make fun of black people. I can't. We do run the world because we're smarter and we're better and we're the chosen people. We can't play football, but we run the damn world. We pay you. You son of a bitch.
What a disgrace.
These Jet fans ought to be embarrassed.
Now,
what a disgrace.
Now Joe is in trouble.
Oh, Joe's in big trouble.
He did nothing.
He's off the air. That's it.
Did nothing.
Put him on the fan.
Well, bro, what? He said, what, bro? What? I know. What is that? I mean, where's my man Don? Where's? How did he? How? Who is this Arnie podcast guy?
It just it doesn't stop. Every day there's somebody else taking a shot at the Jewish people. It really is. It's horrendous. Sauce Gardner. This guy's he's playing football in New York. I mean, it'd be one thing if he was playing on the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
What kind of moron? There's only more Jews in Israel, if they're even there.
When he catches a pass, why don't we all take a knee?
Well, he's a defensive back, but maybe when he makes an interception.
He can still
catch
a pass.
Yeah, of course. Make an interception. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, he's a dick. Jerk off. Sauce. First of all, what kind of grown man walks around with the name Sauce? I mean, isn't that enough, too? I mean, seriously. You got that other moron, he calls himself Booger. The guy McFarlane.
McFarlane.
He's a grown man. They call me Booger. They call me Sauce. He's a grown man.
They're Pink Floyd fans, too, I heard.
I'm sure they are. We haven't played Roger Waters on this show since when? Even before October 7th.
It's been a year.
At least, right?
I had to be comfortably numb or something. That was probably it.
Yeah,
that had to be it. I mean,
I do love that song.
I'm not going to play 18 minutes of Shine on Your
Face. Yeah, probably not.
All right. It's a great song, though.
I agree. It's banned. I'm only off the water across a moonlit night. Once in a while, two people meet, seemingly for no reason. They just pass on the street. Suddenly thunder showers everywhere. Who can explain the thunder and rain? But there's something.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning,
77 WABC.
Trump's Truth Social first day of trading, it went up 50%, went from $3 billion to $6 billion. My man be swimming in the cash, Donald Trump. I love hearing that. Jacqueline Tovaroff is a young lady that has been on this show many times. She ran for city council at one point. She's considering doing it again. She wrote a book recently, which she'll tell you about. And she's one of these ladies that doesn't like what's going on in New York. Well, who does? In New York City. And she's going to come on and start yelling at everybody, which is great. But first, it is Wednesday. And every Wednesday, my guy Frank Siller, the CEO of Tunnel to Towers, who I was told actually already reached out to the, this thing has me so upset, this poor police officer. to his family, his wife. And according to what I've read, Tunnel to Towers has already offered Frank Seller to pay Mr. Diller's mortgage, which is something they do for first responders and cops and servicemen and all that stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. I was told yesterday the two people that you need to mention that reached out to the Diller family, Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, Donald Trump and Frank Seller.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
I didn't ask, you shouldn't have told me. First I'd laugh, but now sinking in fast, whatever lives on me. Well, baby, I don't wanna take advice from fools. I just figure everything is cool until I hear it from you.
Gin Blossoms, till I hear it from you. 9:44 on your Wednesday morning. Jacqueline Tober up in here before. She's got that great book, Supermoms Activated. Last time I saw Jacqueline, she was by the pool at Mar-a-Lago wearing a burnt orange dress, almost like she called Alina Haba before the night started. They dressed very, very similarly. And she was there for the Scott Lobato movie. She was there when President Trump on stage called me the best-looking radio host in America. She saw it all.
I can confirm.
You can confirm that, yes. And now she's here in studio. And the reason why you keep coming back is because I think you're a great voice for this city. Now, you did run for city council once. Yes.
Yes.
And you're considering running again.
If you run with me.
No, thank you. But you see the problems in this city, and you're quick to call them out. Your Instagram is great. So let's get to the mayor. You're very vocal about him. This $53 million credit card deal, $18,000 a family. I mean, to me, what you're doing is you're incentivizing these people from Nicaragua, Venezuela. We don't want them here. You're incentivizing more to come. Does that make sense?
It's actually worse than that. You're incentivizing child trafficking because he's giving it to people specifically that have families. So you are really encouraging child trafficking. And the other nightmare about this is I've gone to the Roe Hotel. I've gone to the Roosevelt Hotel. They do absolutely zero checks to make sure that the people here that are coming with kids are actually families. People can bring any child. People can claim any child. They do zero background check.
Wow, that's brutal. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And you've got two kids, so you know this.
I know this.
So you're about to write a pretty scathing article. You just tease me. Is it about that, or what's your...
This is, yes, I have two articles coming out, one with Human Events, one on my Substack, which is also Supermoms Activated. But the one on Supermoms Activated goes to the Mayor Adams one, which says basically there is no one worse for women than the Democrat Party, specifically majority minority women sitting on the New York City Council.
Give me some of those names.
You have Shahana Hanif. You have Sandy Nurse. These are women that vote to defund police. As you and I were talking, there's a spate of women, young women that are being punched on the, you know, in the face as they walk down New York City streets during broad daylight. This is going unfettered. There's absolutely no recourse because we have limited NYPD. They're being, you know, hampered in every way with this paperwork. Then there are no arrests and no prosecutions. So the whole thing's a joke.
Are you, you're a very attractive young girl. You're in good shape. Are you nervous when you walk down the street that you could be next to be punched across the face? Are you, at this point, living in New York so long, you're kind of fearless?
Both. I'm a little fearless, but every time I get on the subway, which is how I travel regularly, six times a day, you know, I say a prayer, and I have just started sending my two children alone on the subway, and it's quite frankly terrifying.
How old are your kids?
My daughter's 15, my son is 11, and, you know, it's crazy, but the other problem is we have 50% less taxis ever since the pandemic, and it's extortionary to send your kids in an Uber and a Via and a taxi. That's not how it should be. The subway is the main artery here, and they have done zero to protect the people riding it, specifically soft targets, women.
You know, you just did a really good job calling out a bunch of different people, including the city council, which is They're just reprehensible. I've got a couple of friends there, obviously. Ina Vernikoff's a good friend. I'm sure she's friends with you, too.
Yeah, I love her.
The folks on our side, okay? Otherwise, it is a collection of Jew haters and defunding the cops and everything wrong in our country, led by Justin Brennan, who's a dick. I've known him for 25 years, but he's a horrible person. So now they want to make it that illegals can vote because we know when illegals come across, they're very thankful to Joe Biden and the Democrats. So how do they pay them back? We'll vote for you. Don't you find that to be horrible that the New York the city council wants illegals to vote?
Well, as you just said, the city council, 51 members, you have five or six normals that are Republicans, Vicky Palladino, Joe Borelli, Ina Vernikoff, as you just said, they're amazing. But the others are dangerous, defective losers. They are really mentally deficient. They come out with deadly, dangerous policy that is anti-women. They are it's basically an Hamas outpost, what's going on at city council. And yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
Well, if you wanted to run again, how difficult? No, because it seems, I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday, yeah. And they're like, look, this mayor is no good. He's not. And the last mayor was possibly worse, maybe not even that. You have to go all the way back to Bloomberg and Rudy, of course, to find a good mayor. What do they have in common? Bloomberg was an independent, but he started off as a Republican. Rudy was a Republican. Can a Republican win in this city? You mentioned five city council members. We haven't had a Republican mayor or governor in forever. Can a Republican win in this city?
I don't know, because the truth is they cheat and they steal. And the only reason why they can win is because they cheat and they steal. And that is the reason why they want illegals here, because they want them to vote for the Democrats. They cannot win otherwise. Their issues suck balls. Oh, my God.
You can say that. That's fine. You're on my show.
Their issues.
By the way, you just got 19,000 followers on Instagram. Congratulations.
Their issues suck. They suck. They are morbidly obese and unattractive in every which way. The majority of the people there, they're just disgusting. It's a collection of lowlifes.
You just got an incredible piece of support here. It's not from some degenerate pervert listening, although you have plenty of those, I'm
like
sure.
Perverts.
Yeah, I know. This person said, and I quote, Jackie's great. We campaigned together regularly in 2021 when we both ran. Any idea?
Is it Tom Kenneth?
That's right.
I love Tom.
The man who lost to Alvin Bragg, who's representing Daniel Penny, the great attorney, Tom Kenneth.
I'm obsessed with Tom, and just everyone think where we would be if we, DA is one of the most important races, and just think where we would be if we had Tom Kenneth over this loser Bragg. We would be in an entirely different place.
We need a new DA, and we need a new attorney general.
And free
and the judges.
Penny. Free Penny. Team Penny. Daniel Penny.
Yeah. He's doing a great job. Him and Steve Razor with that case. Okay, so we covered the girls getting punched across the face. We covered Eric Adams and the terrible job that he's doing. We covered the city council who wants to go out there and actually make sure that illegals can vote. But this is a big one for you. Very big. And this is why you initially contacted me. The school board on the Upper West Side had a meeting, and Hamas was a theme behind this meeting. Tell me about
this
that.
This is the craziest thing. So these school boards are going viral because, again, they are really becoming like madrasas, medieval Islamic centers right here in America. Judeo-Christian ethos is what we celebrate here in America. And it's the opposite that's going on in these schools. They want to talk about perverting children, Islamophobia, which barely exists, as we've seen. They're not afraid of anything. They're the ones that are out there rioting. It's the Jews that are being attacked, the Christians that are being attacked, the women and the white people that are being attacked. So this whole thing is a farce. And right on this board, you had two men who are pro-inclusivity and diversity, basically comparing Hamas, which raped and sodomized women, Israeli Jewish women with knives, to Moms for Liberty, which is a pro-parental rights group. So only a depraved pervert would come up with that comparison.
I just saw it for the first time. I've seen you relatively often. You're wearing a really nice Jewish star. You wear that on the train? You don't care?
No, I'm Jewish, and I do not care.
Yeah, I take my dog tags out on the train.
You do?
Well, I really want somebody to start with me.
Kill someone. Look what you look like.
I'll kill them. Yeah, I'm actually begging for it, but they don't start with me because they're cowards.
They don't start with me. I've perfected the resting bitch face.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
So you're never leaving this. I mean, you're in Miami all the time. Every time I reach out to you, you're in a bikini in Miami. You're never leaving the city, though, are you?
I don't know. I'm not leaving the city right now. I don't think that we should be pushed out. I think we need to fight. If too many of us leave, then it is what it is. But I think we can fight back. I think our voice is getting heard. I think people are getting disgusted. I mean, take these people that are getting punched in the face. They've had it. Let's ask them, how are they voting this coming election?
Kevin Breslin is the son of the most famous writer in the history of New York. His name was Jimmy Breslin. He was brilliant. And Kevin is his kid. Kevin lives in the Rockaways. I'm very friendly with Kevin. And he for some reason, he still calls himself a Democrat. He thinks it's like a badge of honor. Kevin, I love you. You're way too smart. You say that, and it's stupid. Just shed it. You, Dershowitz, all you guys. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you stronger. It makes you dumb. But, he did say, I'm a Democrat, but I would still vote for this woman because he happens to be a common sense Democrat. But why would anybody still call themselves a Democrat? There's nothing good about the party anymore. Nothing. No one's impressed with the 1970 Democrats. We're in 2024.
Yeah, we're done. I mean, every mom that I speak to that is a Democrat is not voting Democrat this coming election.
None of them, right?
Not one of them.
My wife is one of them. She was a staunch Democrat. Every day I come home, Biden mother effer this, Biden mother effer that, Adams. She kills everybody. Yeah. But she also, like Breslin, is a little afraid to shed the tag. I go, get rid of it. It's a scarlet letter now. Doesn't make you cool.
No, the conservatives are the counterculture. We're the cool people. We're the attractive people, the working people. We're the ones that fight for the family. We're the ones that want to work. We're the ones that want to earn money to go on those vacations and to wear those bikinis.
Yeah, which you do often.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see you. How can people buy Supermoms Activated?
Go on to Amazon, Supermoms Activated. More importantly, actually, go to my Substack, Supermoms Activated. I'm writing killer pieces all the time. And you can follow me on Instagram at Jacqueline4NYC. That's Jacqueline4NYC. I love you, Sid.
I love you, too. You did a great job today. I said 9 minutes. You went for 12. You're that good. All right, we'll take a short break. We'll come back and wrap things up on this, the Hump Day edition of Sid and Friends. In the morning.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Look how cute my friend Mike Sullivan is, Mr. Brennan and Carr. His brother Thomas is running for assembly again. He got a vote for him. They jobbed him last time. Stacey Pfeiffer-Amato stole it from him. Sully goes, you totally killed it today. You got the whole world psyched up. He goes, killing it, killing it, killing it. I'm so freaking pumped up right now with all the texts coming my way. We want to go punch these bastards silly. Spectacular. You're killing it. Stay on it. We need to hear this. Powerful.
Wow. It was a crazy locker room today.
It was. But
that's what it was.
It was. Now, that's a great way to describe it, Lewis.
Yes.
That was genius.
I said I just gave Justin the title.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for the podcast today. Right?